Alzheimer's or dementia. I remember one time me and Faye was trying to turn the channels on the TV with the phone and not the remote, you know, and that didn't work, right? And I didn't want to embarrass her, really, it was her doing it, but... Okay. But you don't have to worry about nothing about trying to recall people's names. They probably don't know your name either. And but it eventually come up, Miss Martha, right? She told me I had to write it 500 times. And you're not an old school teacher, are you? Or young school teacher, excuse me. But you got to worry now when you put the car keys in the refrigerator. It's time to worry then, right? All right, let's go to Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. You younger people don't know what we're talking about, but the Lord tarries, you're going to get there too, right? Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. That's a good thing about getting old, is everything is fresh, everything is new. It's like it happened yesterday, right? Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. I'm about to get into a text in Ephesians that I usually make the women mad right here. But y'all hang around. In a few weeks, we'll be on the men, okay? Today, we're going to talk about the Spirit-filled marriage. Remember the context of 5:18. Go ahead and be turning to Ephesians 5, 5:18. Remember the context. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on all the way to chapter 6, verse 9, and tell us about how this living under the control of the Holy Spirit will affect our relationships. And he speaks of the Spirit-filled person, and the evidence of that in verses 19 to 21. And then we come to a passage where it talks about the Spirit-filled marriage. Well, today we're going to talk about the women. Next few weeks we'll talk about the men. In chapter 6, 1 through 4, he talks about a Spirit-filled relationship between parents and their children. And then we'll go all the way to chapter 6, 5 through 9 in a few weeks on talking about Spirit-filled workplace. So we asked the question this morning, how does this Spirit-filled life carry over and affect our marriage? So let's stand in honor of God's Word, and we're going to begin reading in verse 22 of Ephesians 5. And we're going to read down to verse 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You might want to underline that word, own husbands. As unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands. Again, in everything. Father, I pray that you teach us from your word about that walking in the Spirit and living under the Spirit's control affects our every aspect of our lives and those around us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. You know, I had an uncle one time, Uncle Benny. He had Alzheimer's, but he never forgot how to pray. He always knew how to pray. And that struck me. So the question is, how does this Spirit-filled life carry over or affect our New Testament marriage? Now, in verse 22 and 24 today, Paul exhorts the wives, and then he exhorts the husbands in verse 25 through 33 to walk in the Spirit and have a Spirit-filled marriage. Now, you remember from the curse, that the part of the curse of the fall was God said to Eve, your desire will be your husband's. Her desire to be over her husband, and he says, husband, your desire is going to be to try to be dominant over your wife. And the only way to cure that is Ephesians 5, is a Spirit-filled marriage, Spirit-filled relationship. Now, this passage is important to us today and very timely in light of our present culture. We are not only in a culture war, but a spiritual war. The foundation of marriage and the family is crumbling before our very eyes. There are those that want to do away with everything traditional and everything biblical and everything that we hold dear. Culture is redefining words like gender. When I was growing up, it meant boy and girl. Now it means a lot of other things. They're changing the words like marriage or family. It's no longer what it means to us in the Bible. John Stott, who I've been reading after recently, said this about marriage. He gives a definition of a marriage. He says, marriage is a heterosexual covenant between one man and one woman for a lifetime, ordained and sealed by God, preceded by leaving of the parents, consummated the sexual union, issuing in a permanent mutual supportive partnership, and normally crowned with the gift of children. I like that. So Paul teaches us the key responsibilities of the husbands and the wives, and he makes an analogy between Christ and his church. The relationship between his Christ and his church is the same analogous, if you will, or analogy of how our marriage should be. So I'm going to share some principles today. I'm not saying Faye and I practice all of these. I'm not saying that you practice all of these or you don't practice all of these. But I'm saying to you, each of you must evaluate your own marriage and how this passage fleshes out in your own personal marriage. Okay? So let's look at spirit-filled wives. I see all the wives are still here, so I haven't made you mad yet. Okay? Now notice it again in verse 22. Well, go back to verse 21 a minute. Submitting yourselves one to another. So there's a mutual submission, husband and wife, right? And a submission to the Lord. But in verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That word submit there, I'm going to spend some time here with it, and I'm going to spend some further time with it as we go, means to arrange under order, or to arrange under. It has nothing to do with one partner being inferior to the other, but it has everything to do with the biblical roles of husbands and wives. The word is used in subordination of soldiers in an army who come under their superiors. So we are to submit to each other in the church, in our marriage, and in our workplace. So the wife is called to submit to the husband who is willing to die for her. Look in verse 24, men. We'll look at that in a few weeks. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I've spent a whole married life trying to realize that if I love my wife as Christ loved the church, there will be no problem with submitting to my spiritual leadership in the family, right? And that's what the passage teaches us. The husband and wife have equal value, yet they have different roles in marriage. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm from the old school. I'm not saying wives are inferior to husbands, but I'm just saying that there are certain things that women are trying to do today that God intended for men to do, okay? Now, I realize there are certain things that some women can do better than we can do, right? I mean, you know, I've seen some that could body slam me across the parking lot, you know? They have different roles. Now you're going to be called a bigot. You're going to be called old-fashioned, archaic, when you believe that. But I was in Whataburger just getting breakfast this morning, and three deputies came in, Thomas County deputies. Two men, they were the size of an oak tree, you know. And then this little woman come in that was smaller than I was, and she was a deputy toting a gun. And I ain't going to tell you what all run through my mind, you know. At that time, you know, I'm just saying, call me old-fashioned, old fuddy-duddy, but I don't believe in women in combat. Can I get an amen there? Amen. You know, we're archaic, we're biblical, and that's going to be looked as the world as discrimination, ain't it? Because they're trying to do with everything with that. Now, headship is rooted in creation. In Genesis 1 and 2, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? And then he took Eve and he fashioned her out of Adam's side, right, to be his helpmeet. Now, again, we're not talking about being dominant and crush him. And we're not talking about the husband sitting on the couch and said, woman, go get me some more pretzels. We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about a spiritual headship in the family. And can I tell you today that our churches all over the world will be stronger if our men would step up and be biblical men of spiritual leadership? Can I get an amen there, right? So many noodle-back, weak-back men who are not leading their families. In fact, I'm going to get mad about it in a minute. But that's the way God formed it. It is a thing from creation. I want everybody to hold right here and go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2, over a few doors to your right. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look, this is what the feminazis, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, does not like. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, look at it. Paul says, and he's talking about the gathered church at Corinth, or at Ephesus, let the woman learn in silence and all subjection. Now, that doesn't mean she can't speak, she can't talk. The context is teaching the word of God in the gathered church, okay? But I suffer not a woman to teach, I don't allow, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And that's why we at Trinity Baptist Church, we know that women have roles and we know that men have roles, okay? Now notice what he said. Why is that? Why? What about this headship? Why? What about all this? It's grounded in creation. Look in verse 13. But Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Okay, go back to Ephesians. That's just God's created order. And anything other than that is going to be against the principles of Scripture. Okay? Now, let's look at this passage today. First of all, we're going to look at the instruction in verse 22 and 24. And then we're going to look at the illustration between Christ and his church. Now, let's read verse 22 and 24 again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Like one man said, if the husband has to go around the house saying, I'm the head of the home, then he's probably not, right? And you know that old joke, right? The guy says, I'm the head of my house. And the wife says, yes, but I'm the neck that turns the head around, right? And you heard another one, guys all the time get around each other and they say, I run everything in my house. And the other guy says, yeah, you run the vacuum cleaner, you run this, the dryer, you run that. But notice what it says here. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. And I'll tell you the significance of that next week, or a couple weeks. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this teaches us here that the wives must reverence Christ through a proper submission and respect to her husband. The role of the wife is twofold, submission and respect. If there's one thing that men like, and that's respect, okay? And we're going to talk about next week, the role of the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and to give spiritual leadership, okay? Now, verse 33, notice that, if you will. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, that word respect, speaking about the husband will give an account to God one day for how he leads his family and how he leads his wife. And the women are going to give an account for how they love and how they respect their husband. Women, we are to submit to our husbands, even if they're unbelievers, unless they ask us to do something that's contrary to the word of God. Okay? That's the only time we don't do that. The wife should see the responsibility her husband has and respect him and love him and pray for him and respect his needs. If there's ever one thing a man hates, it's for his wife to belittle him in front of other people, right? That is a no-no, right? And in fact, in front of the kids or in front of the grandchildren, whatever that. Every man needs respect. He might be the sorriest thing in the world, but you need to apply 1 Peter chapter 3, and you win them over by godly conduct, right? Make sure that they see Jesus in you, right? And that's that regard. Now, go back to verse 22 again. Let's look at that word submit a little bit more. She is to submit to her husband and not every man. You notice that? You submit to your own husbands. Right? Ooh, I can get even more in trouble right here, you know, to your own husbands. I'm going to save that for another day. What does all this mean? Submit to your own husband. Well, number one, the husband is head of the wife and not all women, right? Number two, the submission is voluntary. This is a happy relationship as wives follow the loving leadership of a faithful, loving husband. This does not teach that the husband, again, as I said before, lies on the couch and says, bring me something to drink and I want some pretzels and I want some more chips, you know. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? Right? If they happen to bring that to you and bring your dinner to you, it's because you've been treating them right, right? Y'all agree with that? Now, I won't say nothing else there either. But number four, submit means to put the will of the other ahead of your own will. And to love is to put the needs of other people ahead of your needs. Well, I don't have to tell you that we live in a selfish America, a hedonistic America. It's all about us. It's all about what we want. And we don't take time to look at the needs of other people. Number five, she submits as to the Lord. The wife should want to glorify Christ and the desire to love for Christ and have a love for Christ and the desire to be conformed to his image. And if she has that desire, she's going to submit to her husband as to the Lord. Okay? And then number six, submit does not mean to condone his sin or follow in his sin. Right? Your husband tells you not to tithe. Your husband doesn't come to church. Your husband tells you not to tithe. You'll be in direct disobedience to God. Your husband tells you not to come to church, you're in direct disobedience to God, right? The relationship with Christ, with your husband, means nothing unless your relationship with Christ is what it ought to be, right? And then look at the illustration in verses 23 through 24. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Then he goes on here in verse 25 through 33 and talks about the analogy of Christ's relationship to his church. And what Paul is doing here, very wisely, he's talking about the relationship between the husband and wife in analogy to the Christ as the bridegroom and us as the bride. Okay? And so this illustrates several things here. Note the word head in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. We have a spiritual leader, and his name is Jesus Christ, right? And the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home. You know, it irks me when I see, well, I'm going to get in trouble here, but men, you need to lead your wife and your family to church, right? You need to do that. You need to be the one carrying the Bible and opening it up when you get here. Amen? You need to be one saying, hey, honey, we can't do this. This is the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. This is what we need to do. And you're always going to make the right decision if your desire is to sanctify her and make her more like Christ, as we'll see in a few weeks. Are you with me? I mean, am I lying to you or what? This is what's in the text. Men, you need to step up and be men, right? And I do too. So we note the word head. Then we see the word love in verse 25. Wow, look at this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. And then following that, he tells us how Christ loved the church. And then in a few weeks, we're going to see, husbands, how we ought to have love for our wives. He says, love your wives even as Christ. We'll never love our wife like Christ loved the church, but we can love our wife as Christ loved the church, right? And so he talks about here in this analogy about Christ's love for the church, so much that he gave her himself for her. He died for the church, right? And individuals in the church. Church is made up of individuals. And his desire is to cleanse her in verse 26. That's why God saved us. He wants to sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. He wants to make us more like Christ and then present her before Christ faultless and blameless. And then he provides and cares for her in verse 29. Notice that. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So this is the analogy of Christ's love for the body of Christ, right? Now, why did God ordain marriage? He ordained marriage between a man and a woman, right? Not two men or not two women, right? And we know that, right? And it's not two men and one woman, right? It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve, right? And he did that for procreation. If you don't know what that word means, I'll let Miss Inez tell you after the service is over. He's for procreation, right? And he's ordained marriage to be a picture of his relationship to the church, right? So he wants us through our marriage to give God glory as both husband and wife live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of yeah buts, you know. Yeah, but, Pastor, I'm just telling you what the word says, right? Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, right? This is it. Wives, submit and show your husband's respect. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to get on verse 25 through 33, and we're going to chide the men that we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and we need to exercise spiritual headship and spiritual leadership. Now, this is a biblical principle. You're not going to be taught this in school. You're not going to be taught this out there in the world. You're going to be looked at as being fuddy-duddy. You're going to be looked as archaic and old-fashioned. You need to get up with the times, you know. And we're not saying here that men, women are not equal with men. We're saying that God has given certain divine roles for men and for women and for husbands and wives, right? And we'll talk some about that maybe tonight as we look at Anna, the prophetess, okay? So we invite you back tonight as we look at Anna. What can we learn from Anna tonight? And in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, please. Nothing I said today makes sense to you if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the appeal. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you're here today, you need to love Jesus because he died in your place for your sin. You need to come to him in repentance and faith, understanding that there's no way to get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He's not one of many ways. He is the way. There's no other way to get to heaven other than repenting of our sins and believing in the atoning work of Christ on the cross for our sins. If you've never done that, we invite you to do that this morning as we speak. Your marriage, although you think it may be good and sweet now, will never be unless these principles in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 are applied. So, Father, have your will and way in this service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.